Module 10, Ultimate Manufactured Growth Strategies. Wow, we have come a long way and are already up to Module 10. What we are doing in this module and the next is pulling together all of the education and learning from the previous modules and presenting them in a step-by-step process, almost a checklist-type formation from the start through to completion for each of the key strategies. This module will specifically focus on the five key manufactured growth strategies: subdivision, development approval, multi-unit, strata titling, existing buildings, house relocation, and renovation. The next module will cover the key income strategies. Using examples is a great way to get the message across and to enhance your learning, and so a real deal will be used for each strategy to model the step-by-step process. Now, a word of warning. If you are reading this module because you have skipped ahead to it without sequentially working through the other modules, then let this be a caution to you. While this module might look like the holy grail for how to implement your chosen strategy and the step-by-step process, what will not be covered is the in-depth detail, and this is because that's what has already been covered in the earlier modules. So please, if you have jumped ahead, go back and sequentially work through the previous modules so that by the time you get to read this, you have the content under your belt and this module is icing on the cake, so to speak. You are also encouraged to not just read over these steps and checklists, but instead make them the basis for your own master checklist for the strategies you propose to undertake. You should reproduce the relevant checklist for your strategy and then start adding to it, modifying it and amending it as you read new information, as you hear and see new things, and as you expose yourself to other information of relevance to the strategy. This should be a living document and one that grows in detail as you learn and experience more and more. This needs to become your own detailed template for doing the strategy. While the framework is being given to you below, you will also see that the final step in the process with every strategy is to review the project and diligently document your learnings in your own master checklist for the strategy. Please do not skip this process. Do not rush into the next deal without taking the time to review the last, to maximize your learnings from it, and take them to improve on the process next time. This, in fact, is probably the single most important step in the whole process because you never want to repeat the same mistake and you never want to say, oh bugger, I forgot that. You need to take control of your growth and strive to always improve. So let's get started. Subdivision. The process of subdividing land is to break it into smaller parcels or lots. It requires an approval phase to gain council approval, a works phase to actually undertake the on-ground works, a final titling stage to register the newly created titles, and a sales stage if you intend to sell the new lots. Detailed below is the step-by-step process for undertaking a subdivision. As you can appreciate by now though, the size of the subdivision and number of new lots that you are creating will affect the process, but only slightly. Basically, every step required in a large subdivision is also required in a small one. It's just a matter of scale. The state and council area in which you are doing the subdivision will also affect the process because terminology may differ slightly and the process details may differ too. For this reason, the descriptions below are fairly generic, and so you need to research your own particular area, the terms and the process, and reflect this in your own master checklist for the strategy. The real deal subdivision example that is being used throughout the checklist is a nice simple one lot into two lot subdivision. It highlights many of the issues raised below. It covers all of the required stages and will give you a great real life snapshot of doing a subdivision deal. Step 1, location research. Identify locations of interest based on your personal circumstances. Detail your personal circumstances, including what is your available equity, borrowing capacity, and serviceability. What is your time availability? How far are you prepared to travel? Is your strategy to hold or sell? What is your level of experience? What is your risk profile? Based on your personal circumstances, determine what type of region you are targeting, including mining and resource areas, regional areas, metro areas. Review on a map and list all the locations that meet your personal circumstances and region type. For example, regional area within a distance that you are prepared to travel, within your risk profile, at a price point that meets your budget, etc. Narrow this down to the top five locations of interest that meet your criteria. Research locations of interest and shortlist three target locations. For each of the five locations above, research their specific characteristics, including population size, infrastructure spending, supply and demand, rental vacancy rate, council's attitude to development. Based on the above research, shortlist the top three target locations that meet your personal circumstances. These might be three suburbs or three regional towns. For each of your three target locations, research the population growth, demographics, and forward projections, and educate yourself about the area and the real estate industry in general. Set up a spreadsheet with area information for easy reference, including maps, research results, research sources, and contact details, etc. Step 2. Strategy research and mapping. Strategy research. For each of your three target locations, educate yourself on what the market wants, where it wants it, why, and how it fits your chosen strategy, for example, subdivision. Research and visit other subdivisions in those locations, learn from them, and record characteristics and features, prices, marketing strategies, consultants involved, etc. For each of the target locations, consult, in person or over the phone, with your local town planner or planners to determine the specific site requirements that need to be complied with for your chosen strategy, including what is the minimum land size able to be subdivided? What is the minimum land size of the end product being created? For example, how many blocks per hectare? Is a battle axe subdivision allowed? And if so, what is the minimum land size of the rear lot? And what is the minimum width for the battle axe handle or the driveway? Does the minimum land size differ between zones? For example, low density residential versus medium density zoning. What is the minimum frontage width of the subdivided block? What is the site cover requirement? Is there a requirement to show a building envelope or a footprint on the newly created block to demonstrate that the dwelling can be built on the new lot and meet all regulations? Mapping. Obtain council zoning maps from the regional authorities. Identify the location of the zones you are interested in and highlight them on the map. Research the infrastructure, amenities, schools, transport, etc. of relevance and highlight them on the map. Research changes in infrastructure planned for the future and depict on the map. Grid variance analysis. Research the price ranges, low, medium and high, of your areas of interest so you can make comparisons. Do grid variance analysis on the list of areas that meet your zoning and locational requirements. Use this tool to narrow down your list to three target areas with the highest variance between the low and the mid of the market. Search and data facilities. PD Online, Google, Google Maps, Google Earth, real estate websites, regional councils, newspapers and real estate brochures, real estate agents, talking with the locals. Step 3. Street and property-focused research. Street-focused research. Within each of the three target areas, drill down to the street level and identify target streets that better meet your criteria and highlight on your map. Highlight the streets in the target areas that you want to avoid, for example, flood-prone, steep, etc. Become an area expert. Property-focused research, deal finding. In your desired streets, drill down to an individual property level to identify those properties that are worthy of property-specific due diligence. Use the various tools for finding individual properties of interest, including property websites, for example, realestate.com.au, Investar, Domain, Gumtree, etc. Real estate agents and buyer's agents, talking to locals, letterbox drops, and door knocking. Step 4. Property due diligence. Strategy due diligence. Undertake detailed due diligence on the individual properties of interest to confirm their subdivision potential, including potential opportunities and constraints, such as land size, zoning and how it affects required land size, block frontage width, slope, services locations, including sewer main, water main, stormwater, power, phone lines, gas, position of the existing dwelling and the other built structures and how this affects the subdivision potential. capacity to move or demolish existing built structures, research environmental constraints including council overlays for flooding, waterways, overland flow, native vegetation protection, bushfire prone, koala habitat, slip prone, acid sulfate soil, cultural heritage, demolition control, and slope. Research site-specific constraints including significant trees, soil type, swelling and cracking clays, rock, contaminated site, easements, sewer, power, access ways, encroachments, survey site, covenants, caveat, notation on registered service plan, neighbour disputes, council show cause notices, heritage listed buildings, above ground infrastructure at the front of the property, power poles, road signs, general signage, bus stops, traffic lights, roundabouts, fire hydrants, public mailboxes, car parks, parking meters and substations, underground infrastructure, manholes, disused septic tanks, buried water tanks, Telstra pits, capacity of services, electricity, sewer, water, stormwater, and the need to upgrade these for your strategy. Shared services between neighbouring properties, for example, combined sewer drains. Adjoining properties and structures next to the boundary, zero lot alignment, windows, doors, balconies, verandas, private open space location, heights above two-storey, higher density units, apartments, commercial, etc. Road hierarchy. Class of the road, street and who manages it, visibility, access restrictions, capacity for bins out front, current plans and future plans re-resumption, planned changes traffic flow, intensity of traffic, on-street parking, changes to surrounding streets that may impact on yours, noise pollution, road, flight path, industry, birds and bats, etc. Air pollution, road, industry. Subsidence, underground mining and earthworks, earthquake, tsunami and sea level rise, and the crime rate. Note that some of the site-specific constraints may not be fully researched until later in your due diligence, once you know there is potential profit in the deal and that you are wanting to put a contract on it. At that point, while the contract is in the conditional phase, may be the time that you do more thorough research on some of these less obvious constraints. Use the various tools for researching individual properties, including council and council websites, PD Online, RP Data, PDS Live, Investar, Internet, Town Planners, Locals and Neighbours, Surveyor and Engineer. General property due diligence. The general property due diligence items below should be researched in the early stages of reviewing target properties. They may need to be revisited and further researched in greater detail during the conditional period of the contract if you plan to proceed to contract and keep or relocate any of the existing structures. Illegal building works on site, structure not council approved. Structures not built to the Australian Building Code, including built form, smoke alarms, safety switches, pool safety. Usage of structures not council approved, for example, converted garage, multiple incomes, granny flat. Renovation works not council approved, not done to the building code, or not done by appropriately licensed or qualified persons. Condition of the existing property, termite damage, dry rot, concrete cancer, rising damp, asbestos, cracking walls and foundation. Step 5, your A team. The initial team, building and pest inspector, soil tester, lawyer that specialises in development, money lender or broker, town planner, civil engineer that will help with design, planning, feasibility and contracting, land surveyor, hydraulic engineer, geotechnical engineer, real estate agent or purchasing agent, and the valuer. The subsequent team, electrical engineer, quantity surveyor for larger developments, landscape architect, graphic artist, advertising agency, insurance broker, tree lopper. The individuals. Look for individuals that specialise in real estate development. Ask for references or examples of their work and clients. Ask for a schedule of their fees and charges. Discuss the range of services that you will require from each individual. Ensure that professionals are members of professional associations where relevant, for example, the Building Association, Institute of Engineers, Law Society, Institute of Quantity Surveyors, etc. Ensure professionals are completely familiar with local and state regulations. Ensure all professionals have the necessary insurances and certification and request copies to ensure that they are current over the duration of your project. Ensure that they are in touch with the latest laws, innovations and developments within the industry. Ask what subconsultants and contractors they use. Ensure the individuals on your A team understand your time constraints and check on the progress of individuals to keep them on target. Step 6. Initial deal review and concept design. Initial deal review. Calculate the potential number of blocks able to be subdivided for the target sites that comply with your strategy and that your due diligence looks favourable. Concept design. Do rough concept sketches, hand-drawn or digital, to determine the potential layout options for the subdivision design. For example, two lots on one title, boundary reconfiguration, battle axe subdivision, full road frontage subdivision, internal road subdivision. Depict the driveway access, layout and configuration of the blocks, block sizes, block dimensions, position of building structures being retained, location of services and site features that will impact on the design layout. Town planner to review your proposed design options to ensure compliance with council regulations. Specialist consultants liaised with as required, for example, the engineer and the surveyor. Step 7. Feasibility analysis. Initial rough feasibility. Research the cost to purchase the property. Research the cost to complete the strategy. Research the market value of the end product, rental and sale. Research the demand for the end product, rental and sale. Research the various exit strategies. Research and create a realistic timeline of the entire project, including approvals phase, financing phase, construction phase, sales phase, etc. Complete rough feasibilities on the various options to do the deal and the various exit strategies. Complete due diligence on your capacity to finance the various strategies. For those properties where your initial due diligence and rough feasibility looks promising, undertake a detailed feasibility. If you are having trouble getting your rough feasibilities to stack up, consider completing reverse engineered feasibilities on similar completed subdivision projects in your area to better understand the numbers and what they need to be to make a deal profitable. Detailed feasibility. Prepare numerous feasibility studies with varying options prior to committing to purchase a deal. Always enter full amounts in costings, not potential discounted prices. Calculate legal fees and establishment cost as well as any duties or taxes. Calculate an expected sales income and balance it against the expected return. Does it meet a profit return target of 20%? This is your target for viability for a 3-lot plus subdivision. For a smaller subdivision, the profit return may be less due to economy of scale. You have to determine what profit you are prepared to accept for the cost, time, risk, cash input and management required. Visit other development sites and analyse their data, land price, location, etc. Talk to real estate agents about developments in your area. Make timelines realistic. Allow for inclement weather or unforeseen holdups. Estimate timeframes for how long it will take to gain any returns. If your feasibility studies show that your project is not financially viable, review the costings with your civil engineer. If it is still not viable, do not proceed. Assess what the council planning regulations and constraints may be. Assess what the civil engineering requirements and constraints may be. Continually update and review your detailed feasibility as your costs are updated with each new quote or as more information comes to light. Assess what the tax implications of your project may be. Purchasing, finance fees and charges, and hold costs. Property purchase cost, due diligence costs, building and pest, soil report, specialist reports, conveyancing and title search fees, stamp duty. This varies from state to state. Legal fees and miscellaneous legal fees, company establishment fees, buyer's agent's fee, commission, if applicable, council rates and local authority fees or adjustments, valuation or appraisal fees by the lender, accountancy fees, interest on finance, insurances, property management fees if tenanted, general site maintenance, for example, mowing and repairs, approvals, development and sales costs, application and lodgement fees, council development approval and operational works and service providers, consultant fees, town planner, designer, engineers, specialist consultants and reports, site survey, construction of actual development, work out a per lot rate, including services upgrade and installation, road, driveway, drainage works, retaining, landscaping, fencing, lighting, etc. External roadworks levies, upgrade to services fees, monthly consultant and construction progress payments, development management fee, usually paid to you, the developer, council headworks, contribution fees per lot, final surveying, titling costs including planned ceiling fees, advertising and marketing costs, legal fees on the sale of the lots, sales commissions, maintenance upon completion, annual council rates, land taxes. These can vary from state to state. Insurance to cover the entire development during and after construction. Sundry costs. Allow a little extra for any additional costs that you may incur. Body corporate fees, if applicable. Step 8. Choosing your site. Shortlist your preferred sites in order of preference. Enter negotiations on each as per step 9 below. Ensure ownership structure is set up. Ensure the ownership structure set up is suitable for the structure of the deal you are proposing, considering the financing, exit strategies, asset protection, and tax implications. Types of structures include company, company discretionary trust, company unit trust, and company hybrid trust. Step 9. Negotiating and settling on the land purchase. Initial stages of acquisition. Decide if you will negotiate the purchase or if you will use a buyer's agent. Approach each owner and ask relevant questions and listen. Go away and prepare a purchase contract if successful. Consider all information and determine a fair offer. Negotiating the land purchase. Prepare the contract for the purchase of the land. Sign the deal there and then if you have made a decision. Ensure your contract is conditional and includes an opt-out clause just in case. Be specific about the terms and make sure they are to your advantage. Make sure that all of the sellers are present when negotiating to sign. Ensure that on the contract all names and addresses are spelt correctly, that all property details are correct, and that you understand all conditions and clauses. Include a special condition clause in the contract for the seller to sign development applications. Negotiate directly with the owner of the property wherever possible. Confirm all instructions and negotiations in writing. Process upon acceptance of offer. On signing a contract, ensure that you organise a cover note for public liability insurance on the site if it is land only, or take out building and public liability insurance if it is a house and land. Consider if contents insurance is also required, for example, furnished property or property with a body corporate. Deposit is paid to deposit holder and held in trust account. Original contract goes to purchaser, you. Copy of the contract is sent to the seller's lawyer. Ensure contracts have been sent to all parties involved. Take action on contract conditions and note condition due dates in a diary and comply with accordingly. Advise your finance broker or financier of the signed contract. Provide them a copy and instruct to progress with finance approval. Keep vendor or vendor's agents informed regularly. Conditional phase. Instruct the solicitor to carry out all searches. Meet on site with key consultants to finalise due diligence. Carry out required inspections, tests and reports, for example, build and pest, soil test, site survey, specialist reports like traffic, flood, etc. Coordinate finance approval. Obtain quotes for all works required. Unconditional phase. Continue to obtain quotes for all works required. Engage consultants, contractors, etc. Consult progress designs and reports. Conduct specialist assessments and reports. Lodge approval applications. Settlement phase. Liaise with the finance broker or financier to ensure they are prepared for settlement. Inspect the property a day or two prior to settlement to ensure it is in the condition that you expect it to be, based on the contract. Make sure your lawyer does a final land title search the day prior to settlement. If the property is tenanted, consider if landlord-tenant protection insurance is warranted, and if so, take it out. If tenanted, liaise with the property manager prior to settlement to ensure you will be noted as the new owner and that they have your current account details for rent payment. Have electricity account changed to your name if vacant possession on settlement. Step 10. Finance. Securing finance. Determine your personal finance capability. Make a preliminary finance application. Look for a lender or broker that specialises in real estate development. Ensure that you deal with a lender or broker that understands your needs. Ensure that contracts are subject to finance and DA approval if you can negotiate it. Determine interest rates, charges and fees, and negotiate the terms. Lodge your application with a commercial finance broker or department. Where possible, and if it suits your strategy and lending capacity, get finance for the entire subdivision project, not just the initial property purchase. Make sure that you include all the relevant documentation in your application. Advise finance broker institution that the property is under contract and subject to finance and potentially other conditions. Provide them with a copy of the contract. Complete a finance application submission and present it to the broker. What to include in your application for finance? Introduction, financial proposal commitment, site information, mapping, description, zoning, surveyor's plan of the site, preliminary design or plans and submission information, environmental factors report, traffic flow, landscaping, land uses, etc. Development application letter, building quotes or contracts, concept design description and an architect's perspective drawings. Demographic and target market for sales. Complete financial analysis of costs, expenses and projected profits. Cash flow analysis. Timeline of workflow. Conclusion. Double check that all figures are correct. Risk assessment. Supply a report of your development experience, financial history, assets and cash flow. Get a copy of your credit report from a credit reporting body like VIDA and make sure it is correct. If there are any issues with your credit rating, ensure that they are cleared up prior to applying for finance. Offer the development land as your security, but be wary of cross-securitisation with other property you own. Finance approval. Read and make sure you understand your loan documents and fees. Instruct your lawyer to perform title searches on the day of settlement. Arrange a time and date for your lender to present your check. Instruct engineer and consultants to commence work. Ask for written confirmation. Approval may be granted on the condition that a percentage of lots are sold in pre-sales prior to granting further development finance. Step 11. Detailed design and mapping. Mapping. Enlist a land surveyor to establish the boundaries of any land purchases. Land surveyor will map out the development site when approval is granted. The land surveyor will resurvey boundaries and confirm on plans and pre-sales contracts. Initial design. Base your initial design on the preferred concept plans prepared during your due diligence phase. Select a civil engineer. Prepare designs and documentation to lodge a development application for the initial design. Prepare hydraulic engineer plans including drainage, water management and site plumbing. Where your subdivision application is required to be publicly advertised or where the immediate neighbours are notified, liaise with the immediate neighbours during the design phase to resolve any potential issues and incorporate solutions into the initial design. Depending on the size of the subdivision, a quantity surveyor may establish a budget and timeline for the development. Detailed design. Develop the detailed design and construction drawings for operational works approval, generally submitted to council by the civil engineer. Electrical engineer will coordinate their design with that of the civil engineer. Meeting with the civil engineer, what you will need to take along. Description of the site, dimensions of the site, some photographs to indicate the lay of the land. A design brief, which includes information about the average lot sizes and the quantity of lots. Road widths, public pathways, cut and fill, park designations if required by council, covenants, utilities access, water, electricity, gas, optic cable, design features, landscaping, site survey plan, examples of any subdivisions or the concept you are wanting to create. A follow-up site visit with the engineer is highly recommended. What the civil engineer will come back to you with: a design brief which includes information about numbered lots and the lot sizes, road layouts, designated park areas, layout of power supply, layout of water reticulation, layout of stormwater and drainage, time frame for completion, and estimate cost of the development construction. Step 12, applications, permits and quotations. Development and operational works approval. Attend a pre-lodgement meeting with your local council prior to lodging applications. Prior to lodging your application with council, liaise with the neighbours again if you liaise with them in the initial design stage, so that you can update them on the finalised plans prior to lodging with council. Write a personal letter to the council town planner stating your specific requirements. Lodge a development application for the preliminary design. Submit operational works construction drawings for operational works, building approval of the driveway, stormwater, electricity services, etc. Operational works may be a separate approval process, or it may be part of the initial development approval, depending on the council. The council town planner will assess the application in accordance with the town plan's zoning guidelines. If additional information or amendments are required, an information request may be made by council. The application may need to be advertised to the general public or to the immediate neighbours, depending on your council requirements and the level of assessment of your application, for example, code assessable or impact assessable. If your submission is satisfactory, it will be presented before the Town Planning Committee in Council or to a Council meeting, depending on the nature of your application and the particular Council. Development approvals will be issued in writing from the Planning Authority. Understand any terms and conditions that the approval may contain. Council Engineering Departments will assess the operational works application, issue an information request, and once satisfied with the designs, will issue an operational works approval. Again, ensure you understand all the conditions. Quotations. Civil engineer calls for tenders on construction while awaiting operational works building approval. Lead civil contractor is selected from tender applications and a contract is negotiated. For smaller subdivisions, you may coordinate the tendering or quoting process and individual contractors may be engaged, instead of a single lead civil contractor. Contractors to supply cost estimates for all design and building services. For larger projects that require commercial finance, enlist a quantity surveyor to estimate them and monitor construction budgets. Compare individual contractor quotations with the civil engineer's estimates. Ensure tender contracts and documents and quotes don't include any unusual clauses. Update feasibility analysis based on the quotes. Step 13, implementation of capital works, civil and building contracts. Call for tenders, quotes, and negotiate a contract with the best one. Obtain copies of contractors' licenses and insurances to ensure that they are qualified to do the works and that they have the relevant insurances and that all documents are current and will remain current for the duration of your project. Conduct searches on the contractor's licenses with the relevant building industry authority in your state to confirm their status and history. For company entities, conduct searches to confirm their history. Ensure that you understand your contract documents thoroughly. Seek legal advice if necessary for anything that you are unclear about. Clarify the terms of progress payments in the contract, if any. Clarify what the builder, civil contractor's insurance will cover. Clarify contract date commencement and conclusions and your rights. Ensure that the contract has been completed properly and there are no blank spaces. Contracts should clearly state start and finish dates, rates for variations, liquidated damages if the project runs late, a defects liability period, a dispute resolution process, a clear and concise contract price, a list of prime cost allowances. Construction phase. Quantity surveyor monitors progress payments during construction for the larger projects. For smaller projects, you may be the one monitoring progress payments, so ensure you know what is being claimed and what works have been done. Ensure that progress payments reflect work we completed on the site. Once the building or civil contract is signed, the builder or civil contractor is in charge of the site. Make sure you always advise the builder or the lead civil contractor that you are on site. Ensure all inspections are undertaken as required by the project engineer, council, services and road authorities at the required stages, as per the approval notices. Any comments or concerns should initially be made to the engineer prior to the builder or lead civil contractor. Completion phase. Review all of your approval documents and confirm that every condition has been fulfilled. Civil engineer and consultants carry out a final inspection upon completion. Complete a builder's civil contractor's defect list. Re-inspection of repaired defects. Civil engineer issues a certificate of practical completion to authorise the release of any retention money being held by council. Council will inspect the works to ensure it complies with the development and operational works approval. Service providers and other authorities may also be required to inspect the site on completion, for example, Main Roads Authority. As construct plans are produced by the civil contractor, plumber, electrician, engineers and submitted to council. Quantity surveyor produces the final account report. Surveyor resurveys the site and prepares a final plan of survey in preparation for titling. Step 14, issuing of title. Council, Bank and Titles Department approval. Final plan of survey is prepared by surveyor showing all lot boundaries, boundary measurements and lot areas. Survey plans are submitted to council for plan sealing. Either yourself, your solicitor or your surveyor may coordinate this. Council plan sealed documents are sent to your financier, bank, for mortgagee consent. This is because the bank holds the security over the original property that you have now altered. Hence, the bank needs to consent to the changes prior to the titles department cancelling the original title and creating the new titles. Either yourself, your solicitor, or your mortgage broker will coordinate this. Plan sealed documents and mortgagee consent documents are lodged with titles department. Titles department review the documentation and, if warranted, issue a non-compliance request that you first need to attend to before new land titles are registered. New land titles are registered and any pre-sale contracts are now able to settle, and new sale contracts are able to be entered into under a standard land sale contract arrangement. Step 15, marketing your subdivision. Advertising and marketing costs. Sign writers or graphic designer to design signage, branding. Perspective artists to create an image of what the development will look like. Printers to print brochures or print media for promotion of the development. Advertising agency that specialises in real estate promotion. Media costs for advertising in newspapers and online, etc. Keep a record of advertising rates for various sizes. Real estate agents will expect you to pay for your own advertising. Sales agent selection. Research real estate agents that have experience selling the type of product you are producing in the area you are producing it. Interview the shortlisted agents and have them submit a marketing proposal to you. Call previous clients to confirm the quality of the agent or agents. Confirm the agent's ability to sell off the plan if this is part of your strategy. Engage your preferred agent on a short exclusive period initially in order to assess their capabilities and extend their contract if they are performing to your satisfaction. Consider using markers to sell your product if required. Commencement of marketing. Create a pictorial signboard of the development as soon as it commences using artist impressions. List features that will attract buyers based on your due diligence. Create a website for the project if warranted and commence online marketing. On completion of works, have professional photographs taken, including aerial view photos if appropriate. Update marketing material with professional photos. Print brochures or other promotional media. Prepare a price list for pre-sales. Make sure you direct ads at your target market so they generate inquiries. Monitor and record responses on marketing so that you know which media is most effective. record contact details of interested parties so that you can direct market to them in the future. Site sales. Get a lawyer to prepare a pre-sales contract and disclosure document so sites can be sold off the plan prior to titling. Ensure that any special clauses are included in this contract. A standard real estate sales contract can be used once the development is complete and the title plan is registered. Understand what your sales contracts mean and ask questions if necessary. Ensure that sales contracts are filled out correctly by you and the purchaser. Ensure that the deposit has been banked into the agreed account. Step 16, accounting and tax. Accounting and tax in general. Enlist the services of a qualified accountant that specialises in real estate. Determine the tax implications prior to beginning your development so that you understand your obligations. Put structures in place to minimise risk and maximise tax benefits. Determine the bank account to be used for carrying out the project. Create a system for filing invoices and recording all payments. Determine the land tax payable, if any, for the area you are looking at. Submit all relevant documents to your accountant on completion of the project. Income tax. Record all of your expenses throughout the development process. Understand your income tax obligations. If income tax is payable, allocate those funds on completion of the project so that you know they are available for when payment is required. Pay income tax when required. GST, goods and services tax. Understand your GST obligations. Keep a record of all GST paid and received. Lodged BAS, monthly or quarterly, depending on your cash flow requirements. Step 17, celebrate your learning and project preview. Celebrate your learning and profit. At key milestones throughout the project, remember to celebrate your successes. On completion of the project, make time to celebrate your achievements, not only monetary, but also the learning that you had, the experience that you had gained, and the personal development that you experienced. Project review. On completion of the project, undertake a review. Complete an actuals feasibility of the project, detailing the actual costs, income, and profit margin. List down your learnings, what worked, what didn't work, what you would do differently next time, and how you could improve. Add the project learnings to your master checklist for this strategy so that you are continually improving on your process.